Hello and welcome to the first Mooney on Politics podcast of the new season. I've been away for about 5 weeks and it's been a fairly eventful 5 weeks. Around the end of July, when my last podcast was, I said that I'd be back and ready to offer my thoughts on what was happening in the political scene in September. Well, I'm back. But little did I imagine we'd see so much political activity over the month of August. I think, like many other people, I assumed that August would be fairly quiet, and particularly from the political side, because I think a lot of TDs, and particularly ministers, whether you like them or you don't like them, I think they've actually been working very, very hard over the last year and a half. They've had a fairly non-stop time right through from the election, through to the formation of government, through to the start of the pandemic response, etc. So I think a lot of people, I assumed, would have been grateful for the chance of a quiet August. But I was wrong, because I failed to factor in the capacity of Fine Gael's officer class to completely overestimate their own guile and their ability, and some would say entitlement, and to fatally underestimate the public's impatience with them. Though the Taoiseach and his allies, more of whom are in Fine Gael these days than in Fianna Fáil, it would seem, may want to portray the Merion Gate stroke Sabon Gate issue as a silly season story that's not resonating with the public, I think Micheál Martin's TD, senators and councillors know that's not the case. Indeed, I would be surprised if Leo Varadkar's TDs and councillors weren't hearing the same thing. See, voters may not be familiar with the minutiae of who said what to whom and what text and over what platform, etc. But there again, who is? Not the Minister for Foreign Affairs based on his evidence of the Foreign Affairs Committee the week before last. Because the stories and sequences coming from the Taoiseach and from the Foreign Affairs Minister seem to change every couple of days, including at today's second attempt by the Oireachtas Committee on Foreign Affairs to establish the facts. And while Simon Coveney did have a more solid and more coherent appearance and performance at today's committee meeting, there are still questions left over, particularly relating to his approach to deleting texts and how data is handled in his office. But the wider issue here is that voters see this episode as characteristic of a government that at times seems remote, detached, and far more focused on its own issues, concerns, and interests than theirs. You see, Micheál Martin's protestations at last Thursday's Housing for All launch that the whole affair was unimportant, that this was just about a small, minor, part-time position, and that the media was treating it as a melodrama, would be a lot less unconvincing if he hadn't been one of the first people to make this an issue by saying after that cabinet meeting that he'd been blindsided by the decision. Do you like it or not, that attempt by the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, to explain how he, as Taoiseach, hadn't the political sense to send the appointment back for reconsideration at a later meeting, so a meeting this week or last week, or more importantly or more critically, or to consultation with the Oireachtas Committee, helped launch this long-running saga. Because you think back to after the cabinet meeting, the Taoiseach came out and said he was blindsided. But then it turns out that while he raised the issue with Minister Coveney and ministers around the cabinet table, he didn't object to it and he didn't raise any problems with the actual decision itself. It was just the fact that he wasn't aware that the memo was coming that day, though it was on the e-cabinet system from the night before. By the way, do a Google search for Micheál Martin and blindsided and you'll just see how many times this Taoiseach finds himself as the victim of others blindsiding him, be it on EU vaccines, the EU Northern Protocol, or assembly by NEFIT, because the word comes up quite often. It seems to be one of his favourites in his own vocabulary. Now, last January said that normal politics wouldn't resume in this country until what are known as the wet bars, i.e. the pubs that don't serve food, were fully reopened. I kind of expanded on that last March to say that this is not because politics is so linked to drink that you can't have one or the other, but rather because the pub reopenings were seen to be one of the last pandemic restrictions to be lifted, or it was anticipated they would be, and that this was going to coincide with large groups such as the Oireachtas parliamentary party groups being able to meet again face to face. And this is significant because this week on September 9th and 10th we see that the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party will have its first significant non-virtual party meeting in over a year, a meeting that should have taken place indeed last week and was postponed at the behest of the Taoiseach. Now, while TDs and senators have had regular Zoom or online or Teams meetings over the lockdowns, these have tended to be a bit more one-sided with the Taoiseach and ministers, be it from Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, by the way, or the Taoiseach and his ministers, more often in broadcast mode than in listening mode. There's also been another issue with these virtual encounters, more so than their previous face-to-face editions. And that was the fact that so much of what was said and a fair smattering of what was never said ended up on social media. And that left many backbenchers, certainly one or two that I've spoken to, opting to self-censure or even avoiding contributing to the meetings altogether because they didn't want their comments to appear in public and certainly not to appear in an edited form or a jaundiced form in public. Now, the return of these face-to-face single-room meetings will not only facilitate open and frank discussion of the frustration that many within particularly the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party have felt with the government's performance and the party's own poll ratings, it will allow less opportunity for the proceedings to be relayed outside piece by piece in a highly edited or jaundiced form. No, I'm not saying that this week's meeting is going to be make and break, but I think it will be a critical first step in a process. And given the array of problems facing the leader and the party, there is no way a single day of discussion will be sufficient. Now, the issues facing Fianna Fáil right now and the Fianna Fáil leader in particular are many. And I'm talking about the political issues only. We're not talking about the policy issues, and there are many of them too. I'm going to come back to one or two of those later. So the political issues are many. So from the unwarranted delay in publishing the Fleming report into the disastrous 2020 election, bear in mind that the Taoiseach invited Minister Fleming to prepare the report around this time last year. Minister Fleming did that quite quickly, as far as we're aware, and that the Taoiseach has been sitting on it for several months. But at the end of the day, this is a report into an election that took place 18 months ago. Maybe Fianna Fáil's problem isn't the election result in 2020, it's what's happening to it now. Because that's what the party members are concerned about, and particularly the party's dismal performance in the Dublin Bay South by-election. They're also concerned by its languishing in the mid-teens in the polls, to the prevailing belief that Fine Gael is continually wiping Fianna Fáil's eye at Cabinet, and that Micheál Martin applies double standards of ministerial responsibility to the detriment of his own former party colleagues. Because the Bungate speaks directly and substantially to this latter point. Though not as dramatically as the finding in the Mail on Sunday Ireland Thinks poll published on the 22nd of August that showed that only 25% of voters think that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has the most influence on the direction of government policy. That poll found a massive 54% said that Leo Varadkar has the most influence. By the way, they didn't say that they welcomed this point or they supported this point. It just said, by 2-1, people believe that Leo Varadkar is running this government compared to Micheál Martin. And that is part of the reason why Fianna Fáil is languishing in the polls. So for this reason, Martin repeatedly telling his party colleagues that 75% of the party membership backed the programme for government of Fine Gael and the Greens is cutting no ice with his parliamentary party colleagues. Because well over 95% of them backed the deal. Indeed, they did more than just back it. They used up a great deal of local willpower to persuade very many of their own uncertain supporters and activists to do likewise. What these TDs need to know is now is where is the clear Fianna Fáil stamp on this government's policies and actions. They were expecting to see some of that last Thursday with the Housing for All plan, but what they saw was a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach who thought it was vital to bring a speech just to find the sacking of his party colleague as a minister to a landmark Fianna Fáil policy announcement. But it got worse than that, because they also saw their own leader needlessly rising to the media bait and sabotaging the news coverage of the plan he was there to promote. And they had to listen to him justify this action, saying, I didn't show up here with a speech. This was in response to a point from Philip Ryan of the Irish Independent. I didn't show up here with a speech, he said. I came here well-resourced with material. Well, that's a distinction without a difference. That is, if that wasn't bad enough, the same press conference, they had to endure the tarnish to follow up on all of this by shamelessly rewriting history and denying that there were ever short housing shortfalls under Fine Gael. These are the shortfalls that turned what was acknowledged as a housing crisis in 2013-2014 into a housing emergency by 2019-2020. Now, I've said here many times that there is one issue that matters more than any other in politics right now, and that is housing. In May, I warned, the dilemma for Fianna Fáil is that it does not have a distinct and uniquely Fianna Fáil housing policy. Any new one it tries to launch now is tainted on arrival, if it is seen to have Fine Gael's agreement or endorsement. That's a problem for Fianna Fáil. And I have to say, much to Dara Bryan's considerable political credit, and possibly even beyond something I expected, he and his very small team of political advisors have succeeded in delivering a housing programme that is funded, well-researched, thorough and grounded in reality. Not only that, Dara Bryan was an extremely effective advocate for this programme on TV and radio on the night of the launch, demonstrating a strong grasp of detail and an ability to deal with Sapongwe questions without the need to throw party colleagues under their bus. But the point right now is, does the plan contain enough to convince voters that Fianna Fáil both grasps the scale of the housing problem and has sufficiently ambitious plans to address that problem at scale? I really don't think it does. There is very much that is good in the Housing for All series of documents, and it is the basis for a much stronger plan. But my great fear is that the target of addressing the crisis over 9 to 10 years, combined with a housing output delivery timeline that again runs from 2022 to 2030, but which backloads the delivery to the far end of it, does not fully convey the sense of Fianna Fáil fully grasping the scale. And what I mean by backloading the delivery is that the plan is to deliver about 33,000 new houses per year, new builds, I should say, new homes, new builds, over a 10-year period. But the year one target is 24,600. That rises up to about 28,000 for year two. The target in 2030 is 40,500. The programme is not front-loaded, it's back-loaded. So this means any glitches or hiccups in years one and two, and housing will be as big a political issue at the next election as it was at the last one. That assumes that the next election is 3 years away. And that can only spell disaster for Fianna Fáil. Indeed, it is arguable that even without any last minute problems, that the year one and year two targets are just too low as to mean that housing could be an issue anyway. So be in no doubt, Martin and Varadkar's individual futures as leaders of the parties hang in the balance right now that normal politics is resuming. The news that their respective parties can meet again is bad news for both men. And while neither seems to be handling it terribly well, it looks like Martin is the one who has the most to fear right now, though I think Leo Varadkar possibly isn't too far behind him. His appearance at that festival in the UK over the weekend certainly raised concerns here and certainly raised questions. But I know even from within people within Fine Gael, they were not happy with that and the symbolism and all that seemed to send out. I am convinced that more Fianna Fáil TDs want Micheál Martin gone than want him to stay. The number still sitting on the fence has dropped dramatically since before the summer, and I really doubt that there is anything that Micheál Martin can say or even do over the next days and weeks to convince these people who are still sitting on the fence to save his skin. We are definitely in endgame. So that's this week's Mooney on Politics podcast. I'll be back next Monday, and I'm sure it's going to be an eventful week. I'll certainly have reflections on what happens in Cavan at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting. And we'll be looking then as well at what's coming up in Fine Gael. And indeed, what's happening in the Green Party, because they shouldn't be left out either, because there seems to be, and certainly from the last two weekends of the Mail on Sunday, there seems to be certainly a lot of discontent and a lot of problems, shall we say, within the Green Party. Anyway, so listen, thank you very much for listening. And I look forward to talking to you again next week. So in the meantime, take care. Bye-bye.